Navigating Solo is the official Singles Adult Ministry podcast of the United Pentecostal Church International. Navigating Solo is dedicated to encouraging single adults in every stage of life by using biblical principles to navigate discussion on various topics. Here's your host, Dr. Lorraine Orozco.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Navigating Solo. As many of you know, this is our second season, and this is our second interview. And today, I have had the privilege, or I'm having the privilege, to interview Sister Sandra Meyer. Sister Meyer, will you please just go ahead and greet our listeners today? And I'm going to get into all of the things that make you who you are, your family, your heritage. But thank you so much for being with us today on this episode.
It's such an honor to be here, and I'm so thankful we have a group like this for us to go to, because it's been such a strength, and I have enjoyed being part of our local group, and this is my first time with the national group, and I'm looking forward to being able to relate to everyone that feels like I feel, and it's a wonderful feeling to be around people that have experienced what you've experienced and gone through what you've gone through. And they've made it.
Amen. Amen. That is true. I'm thankful for this as well, for this opportunity, and for all of you that are listening. I wanted to introduce Sister Meyer. Can you just start off with telling us a little bit about you? I want to start off with where you're from, and then we'll talk about some of your family and your ministry. But why don't we start off with where you're from?
Okay. I was born and raised in Houston, Texas. Lived there 18 years until I met the love of my life. And then we started evangelizing, and we pastored a short time in Aransas Pass, Texas. Then we went to Montgomery, Louisiana, where our first son, Jason, was born. And then we came to Groves, and I have lived here in the Port Arthur Groves area for 50 years now. So this is home.
All right. Texas is home. Okay. And I really want to talk about your family heritage, because you have an incredible story of family members that have been Pentecostal and have grown up in our movement. Can you tell us a little bit about your family heritage?
I'm actually second generation Pentecostal. My mother first became acquainted with Pentecost in Mississippi through Brother A.D. Gurley. Okay. And she received the Holy Ghost then, and she and my dad moved to Houston before I was born. And when I was born, the very first place I think I went to was to church. They went to Brother Oliver Foss's church, and it was such an impacting church. It was my life.
Mm-hmm. And Brother Oliver Foss, I know he was your pastor, but can you talk to us about who he was as far as our organization is? And I believe he was general.
He was our assistant general superintendent for many, many years. And then he was interim general superintendent when one of the superintendents passed away. And I can't even remember which one that was. But I remember being so proud of him that he was known all over the United Pentecostal Church. He was a very gentle man. He baptized me when I was 7 years old, 1 week after I received the Holy Ghost. I was a very shy child, and I wanted to be baptized, but I was too scared to go to him and ask. And so when I received the Holy Ghost, I was so thrilled. I thought, now they'll know I'm supposed to be baptized. And so he baptized me. And then a few years later, Brother Arlen Ray Foss, his son, became our pastor, and Brother Elder Foss became our bishop. And Brother Arlen Ray Foss actually married my husband and I in December of 1967.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that any time I told someone I was from Brother Foss's church, they always said, yes, I know him. And it was such a wonderful thing. It was a family church. His sister, Sister Faith Williams, taught me every scripture I guess I know to this day in children's church. She is the mother of Sister Janice Young, Brother Simeon Young's wife. Mm-hmm. And she had such an impact on my life as a child. And then Brother Foss's sister, Sister Rachel Conette, led the singing every Sunday night. And we sang, "There's sunshine in the shadows," every Sunday night. when we would transition from youth service into regular service, and we would sing the old song. Some of those in my age will remember it was the theme song of the UPC Pentecostal Conquerors, and it was called "We Are the Pentecostal Conquerors." And we would sing that going to Sunshine in the Shadows, and we would have church.
I love Sunshine in the Shadows, a church that I grew up in. We sang that quite often, and what a beautiful song that is. So that's a wonderful thing to hear. I wanted to talk about your ministry. You talked about your husband and meeting the love of your life and the things. Can you tell us some of the things that you have been involved in over the years?
I will. Let me start with as a young teenager, in fact, at age 7, I started playing the piano for the children's choir at Brother Foster's church. And so I was involved in music all of the time that I was at Bethel Tabernacle. I sang with Brother Arlen Ray Foss's son, Daryl Foss. And I was 14 when he died at age 17 in a horrific traffic accident. I was so completely devastated. That was my first brush with death up close. And I was so devastated because he was my buddy. And if you go to his grave today in Brookside Cemetery in Houston, you'll see on his graveside the title of a song that he and I sang together, "I Was Born to Serve the Lord." And that has always been what my goal was to serve the Lord. So when I married my husband, he was already an evangelist. He was a graduate of Texas Bible College. And we traveled for 2.5 years. And I longed for pastoral. I wanted to see the people through. I wanted to win them and I wanted to help see them grow. And so I was happiest when we were pastoring. And we went to Aransas Pass, pastored there for about 18 months, moved to Montgomery, Louisiana. I felt so strange being out of Texas, but it was a wonderful experience. And our first son, Jason, was born there in Alexandria, Louisiana. And then when we got the call to come to Groves, Texas, it felt like home. And it has been for the last 50 years. During that time, we were principal over the district youth camps for 10 years and had so many wonderful, wonderful times and relationships built during that time. I've been active in ladies' ministry and in our local church. I was music minister. I thought I was from that generation that thought you had to do everything and be at everything if you were the leader, and that was me. I was very much involved in ministry, and I will never forget how wonderful it was to be able to feel the anointing and know God was helping me through it. And so I just gave my life to ministry, and I never even thought what it would be like when I would not be in ministry.
I love that, sister. That is beautiful. I want to kind of just transition in, and I want to ask you if you can share with us some of the things that you've had to face with your immediate family, with your husband, with your children. And we talked about your husband being an evangelist when you met him, and then going into all the ministry positions that you did, being a minister's wife, helping in ministry and music. But with your immediate family, what did that look like? Some of the things that you were challenged by with your husband.
Well, I was a young mother, age 25, when I had a premature child that his lungs were not developed, and he died at age 2 days old. And that put me in a tailspin. I felt like no one loved him like I did because I had carried him for 8 months and no one else really knew him. And I felt like no one loved him like I did, and no one was feeling the grief I felt, including God. And I became very bitter every time my husband would pray for a child and that child would be healed. I did not understand why my baby was not healed. It was a dark, dark time in my life. But one day I was at a meeting, and Brother Wayne McLean from South Houston, Texas, came to me and he told me I was going to have another baby, and that it did not mean there would not be complications, but that the baby would be okay. And I was just shocked by his prophecy over me. But right after that, I discovered I was expecting another child. But he came premature more. He was 9 weeks premature. He had lung problems plus a heart problem. And I really didn't know what to think. They life flighted him to Texas Children's Hospital in Houston. He was 3 pounds and 13 ounces. He lost down to 3 pounds and 1 ounce. But during that time, we still had faith because we had been given a prophecy. And I remember the people at the hospital sent social workers to talk to us because they felt like we were in denial. They said, "Your baby is the most critical baby in the whole ICU unit, and you don't realize he is going to die." And it so disturbed me that they felt like he was going to die. And yet I had that promise. And I remember the night before they were going to do heart surgery on that little 3 pound, at this time, 3 pound, 1 ounce little baby. I went to Brother McLean's home with my husband and I said, "Brother McLean, I have to know if you really heard from God or not. Or were you just saying those kind things to make me feel better?" And he said, I felt like I heard from God, but let's just pray." So we got down to pray, and as we prayed, he didn't pray that long. And I heard him getting up and rummaging around in his desk. And he pulled a letter out of that desk and he stopped us from praying. And he said, "I've got to read this to you." And it was from a sweet, sweet saint that he used to pastor many years ago. And she told him that a young couple was going to come to him in the future with a dire need of healing for their child. And she told him several things, but in essence, she told him, "Tell that couple that everything is going to be all right." And from that day forward, Justin began to get better and he started gaining weight. And it was such a wonderful thing to know that God had given me that assurance that he could have healed our little Jonathan, but there was something good coming from that. And so he allowed me to have Justin that was in much more critical condition, and he healed him and he allowed him to live. So Justin was a very special child. He was very musical. He grew into a fine young man. He assisted his daddy in leading services. He was a children's ministry worker. He loved all things that was related to church. He graduated from college. He was engaged to be married at age 27, and he started having all these physical difficulties. I couldn't imagine because he was my promised child. And after many, many weeks of trying to find out what was wrong with him, a doctor finally diagnosed him with autoimmune encephalitis. And in just weeks, he went down to, he was in a complete coma on a ventilator with a feeding tube, could not move anything. The doctor described it as he was trapped in a body that could not move. And thus began the greatest trial of our life. But God had prepared me through the death of my baby and learning what it was like to be bitter, through the birth of my child and giving me faith. And now he was going to teach me trust. And every day I believed that God was going to heal our Justin. 4 years and 7 months we took care of him and every need that he had in his bed in our home. And when God took him, I realized I've lost another child. I can be bitter. Or I can trust. And I chose to trust. And in trusting, it's made all the difference. And it prepared me for the loss of my husband as well. I just realized I couldn't go through bitterness. It doesn't change anything. It just makes you miserable. And I couldn't handle all of that. And so the Lord began to deal with me to go back and look at all the scriptures I had marked of promises that he had given me throughout Justin's sickness. And before long, it started forming into a book that I eventually published, and it's entitled Living After Loss. It covers my journey to trust God through the deaths, through all of the things that I could not control, but he could. And he chose the way of my steps, and it was for a reason, and I was so thankful for it. And even though that book was written before my husband passed away, it became a source of strength to me as I began to reread it. And if anyone on this podcast would like a copy of this book, I will be happy to mail you a complimentary copy. If you will just get your address to me, you can message it to me on Facebook, or you can contact this program. But I will mail you one complimentary because I want it to be a blessing to someone. I want what I went through to help others because God is your strength. I remember asking my sister, Janice Miller, who was a missionary. I was with her when she died. It was after my Justin died, but it was before David died. And I asked her one day, I said, Janice, are you afraid? And she said, a little bit. And I said, but Janice, either way, you're going to win. If the Lord heals you, you're going to win. If he doesn't, you're going to heaven where you'll never have another pain. And I have lived on the strength of my sister, that was a very wonderful prayer warrior, the strength of my husband and my church that helped me through my trial with our Justin. And God has brought us through some wonderful, wonderful things in our life.
Well, that I think that is just incredible, sister, that you were able to write this book and that God allowed you to write something and use some of the deepest pain that you have felt to learn to trust God and to help others trust God. And so I definitely want to put that on our podcast. So if you want a copy of Sister Meyer's book, I want to you to be able to receive that because, like you said, you wrote that book before your husband passed away. And so reading that back must have been such a strength of like, God got me through this. He was able to get me through this. And I know again that he's going to get me through this other situation and this other loss in my life. So I think that that is wonderful, sister, that you were able to do that. And I wanted to go into asking, you talked about your son, Justin. Talk to us about your husband, because that came after your son died.
Okay. My husband, we thought he had bronchitis for a long time, but it was during COVID. It was during 2020, but he didn't ever get COVID, but it was congestive heart failure. And so, of course, he had to go to the hospital, and I didn't get to stay with him. But the last week of his life, we talked a lot on the phone. And I remember him telling me, he said, I don't know why, but all week long, all I've wanted to do is just read the Bible and reflect on God. He said, now you'd have to know my husband. He loved Fox News. So if he was in the hospital, he would watch Fox News on TV. He said, I didn't even care about watching Fox News. And there was just like that drawing of God to him. And I remember the night that he died, the hospital called me and told me that I could come up because it was very near. He was on a heart lung machine, but he was dying on that. And I remember looking in the mirror the night he died and saying out loud, you are a widow. And that was the strangest thing that could have ever come out of my mouth. We had been married almost 53 years. I was a kid when I married him. We had gone on vacations. We had gone through ministry. We had gone through pain. We had gone through joy. We had gone through death. And now I was all alone and I realized my identity was gone as well. I didn't know who I was because I was no longer a pastor's wife. I was no longer David's wife. I was just me, and I had never been just me. And it was a hard thing to deal with.
So what are the some of the things that got you through those losses in your life, or some of the things that were helpful that might also be helpful to others that are going through the same thing or have gone through the same thing that you have with losses in their life?
To me, when I could get in the presence of the Lord praying, it helped me so much because I felt like I was in the presence of those that had gone on before me, because I knew they were in the presence of God. And if I could pray until I felt His presence, then I could feel near to them. And so prayer became a very strong thing to me. Another thing was sharing my thoughts with my good friend, Myra Hennigan, because she had gone through the same thing about 10 years previous to that. when Brother David Hennigan passed away. And I knew she truly understood. And so nights when I would leave a group meeting or something, and I was the only single person there, I would cry all the way home and I would call Myra, and she would help me. And I would just say, you need to find a place in prayer you've never found before, and you need to find a friend that understands and vent to them, someone that will not judge you, but someone that will just listen, understand, and pray with you. And that's what Myra Hennigan has been for me. Many other people have helped me, but she's been my friend, and we have stuck together.
Oh, and there's nothing like good friends, good apostolic Holy Ghost friends that will let you talk to them and will pray with you and will love you and then will let you laugh and will bring joy into your life. And those people that you can just be yourself with and be silly with, and laughter is always good, like medicine is what the Word of God says. And I think about that. When I'm feeling down, you've got those good people that will just make you laugh and make you happy and will allow you to just be yourself. So that's a wonderful sister. I wanted to ask that you tell us about your transition, because we know that you had that journey with those losses, but you continued on and you transitioned into an incredible career and did some wonderful work, continue to do the work for the Lord, but also did something that was pretty remarkable and that you are still doing today. So can you tell us about that transition into your career that you are have presently?
Sure. I remember distinctly a few days after the funeral, going to the grocery store to buy more groceries for the company that was still in my home. And I knew my income was going to be considerably less than what I was used to. And I was so stressed out about it. I was just very stressed out about it, going to the grocery store that day and thinking, I've got to spend more money. What am I going to do in my future? But in the parking lot of the grocery store, I passed my son. He was in his car and he stopped me and he rolled down the window and he handed me a card. And it was a card that I had given to one of the ministers that had spoke at Brother Meyer's funeral. And I had placed some money in it. And he said, This brother told me to give this back to you. He wants you to have it. And as he handed me the card with the money in it and on my way in the grocery store, it was more than the money that day. It was like God spoke to me and said, I will make a way for you when you need it at the exact time, wherever you go. And it was then that I realized God was going to take care of me. And I had gotten my real estate license in 1995, right after my mother and dad had passed away, because they had struggled so much in their retirement. They didn't prepare well for their retirement, and we had to take care of them. And I decided I would go into real estate. And so I worked 8 years back then and just simply saved all my money for retirement. But then that's when Justin got so ill, and I got out of real estate to take care of him, but I kept my license so that if anything ever happened that I would need to go back into it, I could. So I was so thankful that I had that to lean on. And I feel like God was directing my steps back in 1995 so that I would be able to do something, because a lady my age just can't really step into any kind of a career at that point. But old ladies can work real estate. And so it was a blessing to me. And so I, about a month after Brother Meyer died, I called a realtor friend that I had worked with before, and she had her own office at that time. And she said, I have an office open for you. Come on and work with us. And so I got to work with three ladies that I had worked with 17 years prior. So it wasn't like going into a brand new atmosphere. I had women that had been my friends. We had stayed in contact all those years, met for lunch and different things like that. So it was a comfortable transition for me. And I just felt like God was so good to not only open a door for me to be able to work, but to make my atmosphere comfortable.
Yes. And so you continue to work that, and that's what you do right now is you sell real estate. And I heard that you have done very well, like not just, sell real estate, but I understand that there have been, and correct me if I'm wrong, there have been some awards, there have been some things that you have received because you have done so well in your business.
It has amazed me how God has blessed. And I have told my broker over and over, it's because of the blessings of God. And he has definitely taken note of my life. And I actually gave him this book, Living After Loss, to read, which has lots of scripture and the plan of salvation in it, because I wanted him to know. We had a manager that died of COVID, and he was very close to this manager. And he became very distressed. And when he talked to us about it after that, he called me and he said, Sandra, I had to look at you the whole time I was talking to them about the death because I found strength in you. And at that time, he hardly knew me. But ever since then, and he's a young man, he's in his late 40s, but he has had a special connection with me. And every time he hands me an award, it's like, yes, God blessed you again. And I've been triple crowned several times, which means you close three houses in a month. And this year, 2 months out of three, I have had a triple crown. And I'm so thankful for that. I want to bless others so very much. And I'm able to when I have some extra income coming in. And I appreciate that.
So I wanted to ask you how you would encourage a pastor's wife or anyone who feels like they're starting over after losing a spouse. And because that's what you did. You really started over in a career that you had done before, but really stepped into it. And like I mentioned, not just stepped into it, but did very well and very successful with what God gave you. But what would you say to somebody if they're like, I don't know what to do, I'm kind of starting over again, especially as a pastor's wife? What would you say to them?
I would say find something that you enjoy doing and get paid for it. I love selling. I love selling to first-time home buyers, really, because the thrill of helping them to find a home is a wonderful thing. And so I loved it when I did it before. So that was what worked for me. I have a friend who loves to bake, and she has made a business out of that. In fact, she's been able to open a shop in a Merle Norman of all places and sell her baked goods. And I think that's a wonderful thing. We need to find something that we love, something that we love to do, if whether it's sewing or whether it is baking or whatever you enjoy doing. Maybe it is delivering meals to the senior citizens if you enjoyed working with the elderly. But find something to do that gets you up every morning and makes you go. It makes all the difference when you know that somebody is depending on you and you need to be there. And then the extra money really does help, because if you lose your life, life love, and you lose sometimes your home, I was blessed to not have to lose my home. But many are in parsonages and they lose their home. And you lose your church family. I'm still with my church family. My son pastors our church, so I am blessed with that. But you need to find something that somebody needs you, or you'll stay in under the covers and be depressed. So you have to make yourself get out and do something that you will feel rewarded for, and it will help you.
So find your purpose. Find your purpose.
Exactly.
Find something that you love. Find your purpose. Like you said, don't just stay under the covers. Find something that is meaningful and that you love to do and is helping others. And then go from there. That's great. If anybody that's listening and wondering where to start, find your purpose. Find something that you love to do. So I wanted to ask you one of our last questions. And as you have mentioned, the real estate and you've done so well. It's been something that you love helping people buying their home. Can you share some tips for how singles can start on the journey of purchasing a home? Now, we know several of singles that are going to be listening to this, whether they have been divorced or whether they've been widowed or even never been married, and they're looking to buy a new home or a first-time home buyer. What are some of the practical tips that you can share with those with us today?
Go talk to a lender first. Go to a local mortgage lender. Don't go to these online ones. Go to somebody in your area and talk to them. They can tell you what price house you could afford. And if you have a lot of debt, they can also advise you how to get out of debt, how to consolidate your loans, or so your monthly income does not exceed the ratio that where you could have a house note. But if you have a score of 620, you can get a house. And there are a lot of programs out there that's no down payment. And there's a lot of things that you can do. Sellers can actually help you pay your closing costs. That's legal. And so you can get in a house with very little money if your credit score is at least 620. I will say this to all the widows or divorcees who. All the credit was always in your husband's name, and perhaps you didn't work. And that was in my situation. Everything was in my husband's name because he was the provider. And I realized I had to have two or three lines of credit in my name to build my credit up. I couldn't depend on my husband's credit. They looked at my credit. And I know I just tried to help a widow get a house. And she didn't have any credit in her name. And so the loan officer said, if you will get a credit card and a small loan somewhere and pay it off, 3 months, your credit score will skyrocket and it'll get so much higher and you can qualify for a loan. So that is very important to talk to a lender before you start looking at houses. You don't want to start looking at houses that you can't afford. Find out what you can afford. And I will tell you this, a house note will be a lot less a month than what you will pay in rent. And you are also making an investment that will help you down the line.
So, out of curiosity, what is that ratio to how much money, what part of your income should go to a home? Or should
I'm
it
trying to
not
remember
be?
that because I always leave that up to the lender. But what they do is they don't take like food and that type. They take your payments, like your car payment, furniture payment, your Visa card, your American Express card, and see how much they'll have to go and find out. I'm so sorry. I do the
No.
house, but I leave that up to the lenders.
I'm just
The
wondering, like,
ratio.
there should be like maybe 25%, or like your house shouldn't exceed home payment shouldn't exceed like 25% of your income. I've heard kind of that, but I guess, like you said, it would kind of just depend on what the lender says and what the costs are, and what bills that you have coming in.
It does. It does.
All kind of depends on that. Well, those are wonderful tips, especially what your credit score needs to be like, and that having credit in your name and being able to build that up. So those are great tips, and hopefully at a later time we want to kind of go into that, do a little bit of more some practical things for our singles. But Sister Meyer, you have just shared so many wonderful things with us about your life and your journey, about your family, your transition. And I just wanted to ask if there's anything else that you want to add, and anything else you want to say to our listeners on navigating solo before we end.
Thank you. To me, losing a spouse in the ministry is the most devastating thing you'll ever do because you not only lose your spouse, and I've grieved David so very much, but I've grieved losing my ministry so very much as well. And I believe it was Gary Smalley that said one time, in your life, you need to plant rows of different vegetables because that way, if you lose one row, you still have something to eat. And I have never forgot that. Most of us were 100% into ministry and we did everything that we could for ministry. But yet, this time in our life, things have changed. And I'm thankful that I planted a few other rows in my garden. God had a purpose for leaving me here when he took my husband. So there is a purpose for me. There is still the will of God for me. It may look different than what the will of God was for me when I was involved every Sunday in every aspect of the church. Now I get to babysit my grandchild, and that's really, really nice. But there was a great adjustment period for me when I felt so out of place in a church that I had been a part of for 50 years. I was a stranger on a pew, but yet I believe I have found my purpose, and I want to find my purpose and use it to bless others and to realize there is still a place for me in the church. Whatever it is, God will open that door for me, and I don't have to force anything. I simply have to allow him to be my covering and my guide. And when I allow him to do that, the Lord will open every door for me that I need opened and shut every door I need shut. And that's a great way to live.
Amen. Amen. And knowing that no matter what, that there is always a place for you, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what situation that you have faced, there's always room for you in the kingdom and a place for you to use what God has given you, even if it looks different, even if it looks different. Well, thank you again, Sister Sandra Meyer, for being our guest here on Navigating Solo. To all of our listeners, God bless. Bye-bye.
Join us next week for another great interview on Navigating Solo.